If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Yeah. From the epicenter of the resistance, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carlos Alzraki live in studio. We were talking about, I read this piece over the holidays on HuffPost, The Great Resistance 2017. Loved it. It reads, in part, for me as for millions of others, there's a deep sense of feeling of deep foreboding. You just used that word.
Yeah.
From our president-elect's childlessly reckless attitude about a nuclear arms race, to his chief financial appointee suggesting banks need more deregulation, to a lack of impulse control with his Twitter account suggesting something more like the extreme use of Adderall than the extreme case of ADD, it's looking like he is in a car crash happening in slow motion. The rest of us are stuck in the car. Beyond left and right, people across all political spectrum are feeling a sense of alarm. In the words of a friend, we are shaken to the core. Despite repeated injunctions from Vladimir himself, no less, that we need to lose with dignity, simply get over it. I, for one, don't know how to do that. But I don't want to. And this is not the first time my guy lost in the presidential horse race. Everything she says, I second that.
Yeah.
To the 10th power. She joins us now because we need a miracle now. We need a whole course in miracles. Marianne Williamson joins us now. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning.
I read this over the holidays and I was like, yes. You are dead on as usual.
Well, thank you. Many times I've heard you and I go, yes. So.
We're both screaming.
Oh, we love people who agree with us.
Oh, it's like great sex that we're not having. But anyway, yes, absolutely. What, Marianne, you know, I've followed your work for years, and obviously, you know, you used to be on Oprah, and you're sort of known as a self-help guru because you're always so positive. And so coming from you, this piece I thought was so powerful, too, because everything is not okay, and we can't normalize it, right?
Well, actually, the rest of my work, I don't think that people who actually know my work think of me as a self-help guru who's about things are always okay, because I work a lot with people who are in serious trauma, and
right.
You know, whether it's working with AIDS patients or people who have lost people that they love, or
right.
serious divorces and stuff like that. Actually, the spiritual work in life is not self-help. Self-help implies you can help yourself, when the real spiritual work is that you're the problem, you're not the answer.
Right.
So spiritual work recognizes evil, recognizes that there are some very terrible things that happen when the heart is not attuned to love. So this political situation is absolutely the kind of thing I work with in people's lives mm-hmm. all the time. When you do not show up for your life, for the things that are good, in this case, you do not take care of your democracy, you do not stay true to principle, the press doesn't stay true to ethics, the political parties don't stay true to ethics.
Right.
You know, we had a perfect storm here, politically,
right.
and I think that the kind of perfect storm that's happened collectively in this country is very much the kind of perfect storm that I work with in individual people's lives all the time.
Well, Marianne, I love the way you put it. You know, you've obviously mentioned that your guys lost before, you've gotten over it, but I love the way you put it. You said we should never ever, I don't think I'm supposed to get over this. I feel it's my patriotic duty not to. Every part of my being is sending out a red alert. We should never ever accept something as a demagogic and vigilantly ignorant as what a Trump presidency represents to this nation. I think that is the danger, is in declaring this the new normal, right?
Absolutely. It's a lot like going back to the individual model. It's like it's like if somebody is an alcoholic or somebody is a drug addict, and a friend and family does an intervention to know that you've gone beyond normal, you've gone beyond moderate drinking. If you continue with this, it will kill you. And I think that many of us feel that about this democracy. This is red alarm. This is not that whole, you know, this is the whole conversation of not normalizing.
Right.
This is very abnormal. This is something we must face as a clear and present danger to our democracy.
And you say it here, if the house is burning, you yell fire. And I thought you made some other really great points. Gandhi was nonviolent toward the British, but he wanted them out. King was nonviolent toward the white supremacists, but he wanted them politically defeated. And that is, you're right, this is the very nature of resistance, right?
Well, yes, and I think I'm speaking there to so many people in our country are very serious about their spiritual paths, mindfulness, Buddhism, and so forth, and feel like, well, aren't we supposed to love everybody? And that's it, theologically, you know, that's the Hitler question. And that's why I say that. Now, this isn't about not loving Donald Trump. It's about not wanting him anywhere near the levers of power.
Right.
Because he is displaying behavior, which is, I don't know whether the man is drug addicted. Well, you know, there's so many theories out there.
Right. I mean,
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you those tweets at 5:15, like the tweet he wrote on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
That's more than lack of impulse control.
Right.
And it is unsophisticated
yeah.
of us to fail to acknowledge. Enough of us have, and this goes back to the kind of field I come from, we know drugs when we see it, or we know serious psychological issues when we see it, that we're all pretending like this is just a normal human situation, and it's not.
Yeah.
And
you, I mean,
not just conspiracy theory. This is like silly yeah. of us to pretend that this man is mentally fit for this office.
That's absolutely correct. And you say what I've been saying a lot, too, here. You say we need to rise to the occasion, find every legal, nonviolent, and effective way to resist Trump's leadership. It's not enough to wait for Republicans to find their conscience or the Democrats to find their, you know the word. Each of us needs to find our power. We are citizens. We should remember our representatives. Even the president worked for us. We do not work for them. Our mutual friend, John Fugelsang, says that at the end of every sexy liberal show, he says, remember, they work for you. And
right.
Yeah, and that's where it starts. Look at what just happens with this ethics thing, Marianne, is there was enough public outcry. Public shaming does work. They back down, right?
And usually, though, it's the right wing that tends to remember that more than the left does.
Right.
In an ironic way. And I think even that issue, they work for you, part of the a very serious issue here is that we don't teach our children civics anymore.
Right.
You know, if kids aren't taught what the Bill of Rights is, then they grow into people who don't know to be horrified.
Right.
If people are doing things that are in direct violation of it. The problem is not just the way Donald Trump intimidates the press. The issue is that not enough Americans know to be horrified by that. Know
right.
how an American is. Know how much out of Hitler's playbook it was.
Yep.
So. We have to
Marianne, I've mentioned many times that my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and I said, Google 14 characteristics of fascism. And, you know, this is not hyperbole we're engaging in, right?
Well, first of all, I'm just blown away that your father was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. Like, wow. But
yeah.
Absolutely.
I must have a fascism early warning device embedded in me genetically, I think.
Well, yeah, you, like I, have a lot of stuff in your childhood that put this stuff in your cells, but I think that we have to learn about American history in ways that too many of us lack, and we have to learn, as you were saying, about German history. The events of the past year are giving us way more insight into Germany in the 1930s than any of us ever thought we would see, or certainly yeah. any of us want.
You put this best in your piece once again. You said each of us needs to ask ourselves, what can I do? What's my internal guidance that I might be part of the great resistance in 2017? And that's what it needs to be, a great resistance, not just a kind of sort of maybe I'll post that on Facebook kind of thing. Each of us has to play a part in powerfully repudiating the abuse and misuse of power that Trump's upcoming presidency already represents. You're doing the Sister Giant Conference in D.C., right, February 2nd through the 4th. And Bernie Sanders is speaking again, correct?
He is. Bernie Sanders is a keynote. We have Cenk Uygur. We have your friend John Fugelsang. And also, with my work, and Ari Berman and Michael Weiss and Opal Tometi, a lot of the people talking about the kind of political issues that you and I and others are concerned about. But we're also, and this is true whenever I do work like this, I think that we have to understand, in order to face this current situation, we have to understand things very deeply. We have to understand how this perfect storm happened.
Right.
And that a lot of that is psychological, historic, philosophical. This is not, you know, Americans are very good with a to-do list. We like somebody to just say, well, tell us what to do and we can fix it. But this is not like, it's not like that. You know, you can look at the
yeah.
Germans in the World War II or the Japanese Imperial Army, and you can liken them to operable cancers that
mm-hmm.
were surgically removed. This is more like a cancer that is already metastasized.
Right.
There's no easy to-do list. This is a whole systems breakdown, and we need a whole systems response. And that's why in the conference, we will be talking about historical issues. We will be talking about some of the psychological issues, including our own disengagement.
Right.
How come? Well, we allowed this to happen.
I loved it. Yeah.
Every time we fail to stand up to this lack of integrity, to this lack of ethics, to this lack of legality, it just came on and on and on. So that all that this is, on a very deep level, is a reaping of some karma that we need to look at.
And yeah.
We will be seeing all those things.
And I loved your call to action there. You said to remember the abolitionists, remember the suffragettes, remember the civil rights movement, and do in our time what they did in theirs. See the problem. Don't just see the problem, but don't just grieve it, fix it. Let's not be the first generation of Americans to be so beaten down by a problem that we lose our will to solve it. And we have new tools, like social media, at our disposal as well, right? He's not the only one that knows how to use Twitter.
Well, yes, and also 2018. You know, Abraham Lincoln said there is not that much evil any government can perpetrate in this country as long as the people remain vigilant. What he was referring to there was the fact that every 2 years, and I know we have the challenge of gerrymandering and so forth, but still legally every 2 years we can change the makeup of the entire House of Representatives.
Right,
and that's one of the problems on the left is that we talk about all these tools, but sometimes we undervalue the importance of tools like congressional elections.
Right.
And that's where we need to put our attention more. The left tends to really love the hot and sexy presidential campaign.
Yep.
But can become very lackadaisical about congressional campaigns, senatorial campaigns, state house campaigns. And so the left, one of the mental habit patterns and behavioral habit patterns we need to shift is electoral politics.
Right.
And in the meantime, like you said, this resistance needs to be, you know, like the old concept of music of the wall of sound.
Yeah.
There needs to be a sense of a wall of resistance once January 20th happens.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look, there is some great project, great something someone is doing.
Right.
I remember during the Vietnam War, there was always something. It has to be like that. There is always something
that
we are all showing up for. This has got to
right.
be a wall.
Well, I'm doing obviously the Women's March, and then we're doing Sexy Liberal that night.
I will be there.
Good. And I have to tell you, over the holidays, you know, reading this you wrote on HuffPost really did lift me up, which, you know, is what your work does. But you said as we celebrate the miracles of both Hanukkah and Christmas, let's remember this is not the first time human beings have experienced a very dark night. And this is indeed a collective dark night of the soul. But all great religious teachings remind us that into the darkened night, God always has and always will bring forth a light that is not of this world. You say no power of darkness can stand before the power of this light. It is among us and it is within us. And I think that goes even if you don't, whatever your belief is, you know, whether you call it God or whatever you believe. But I love that you say 2017 is not a predetermined destiny. It's up to each of us to decide what it will be. And that's exactly it. We just got to hold each other up, empower each other, right?
Well, I think, you know, on the right, they talk about how America's done everything so right as though we've never done anything wrong. But sometimes on the left, they talk about how America's done so many things wrong as though we have never done anything right. And I think that we need to remember, yes, we had had slavery, but we also had abolition. We had the lack of women's suffrage, but then we also had suffragettes. We had institutionalized segregation,
right.
But then we had the civil rights movement. We have to align ourselves mentally, attitudinally, historically, philosophically with the abolitionists now, with the suffragettes,
right.
with the civil rights movement.
Right.
This is not the first time America has swerved. It's not the first
right.
time America has gone down. We need to align ourselves with those who brought it back up and not be the first generation to wimp out
yeah.
on the job of
no.
bringing this country back to life when it's yeah. in this terrible life support.
You know, it's so interesting. I read your piece when I was in Hawaii over Christmas, and I visited Pearl Harbor. And I thought, it really is interesting when you think back on the whole history of World War II and the greatest generations. And you're right, the things that we have overcome and resisted as a people, right, as a humans.
Well, look at your father. I mean, your father and, you know, my father, we both grew up in families where we heard about that. I mean, if your father was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, I mean, that there is no more potent symbol of that. The world went insane.
Yep.
Evil happened. And the world handled it.
Right.
And that's, you know, don't stop with half the formula.
Right. And we can do this. And, Marianne, I can't wait to see you in D.C., the 21st, and then best of luck with Sister. How do we find out more about Sister Giant?
Oh, thank you. Yes, go to sistergiant.com, sistergiant.com, and register. People can register to be there live, or they can register to be there live stream.
We are sisters doing it for ourselves, and I thank you.
And for each other.
Exactly.
And for each other. And thank you for, and Sister Giant, despite its name, is for men as well.
Okay, fantastic. Marianne, always a pleasure. I know you were here in studio with John, and we got to have you in again sometime.
Well, thank you. I'm a big fan, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thanks, Marianne. There she goes. Of course, in miracles. That's what we need, a miracle.